Welcome to the Bardcast. It's Shakespeare, you dick!
Wow.
So angry about that today.
Yeah, that's that. We're your hosts. That's Lisa Ann Goldsmith, and I'm Owen Thompson. You know the drill, but Jesus Christ, woman.
It's been a crazy week.
I understand. Listen, I'm going to brag on you, and this is one of the reasons why it's been a crazy week, especially for you. Lisa Ann is teaching a Shakespeare class on the university level.
Yeah, not the first time, but this is at Point Park Conservatory of the Performing Arts, which is where I got my master's degree.
Yeah, alma mater and shit.
My alma mater and shit. So yeah, I'm teaching juniors and seniors acting for Shakespeare, you dick. And actually, the first thing when I was introducing myself, I told them about the podcast and I said the name and they all like surprisingly cracked up, like they were surprised that they were laughing. And mm-hmm. then I told them the story and they loved it, so.
Well, again, we are proponents of this is the entree into Shakespeare, right?
Clearly,
which is not a bad segue considering what our topic of the day is.
That's right, friends. This episode is coming, farting, pissing, shitting, barfing Shakespeare. I want you to all go home and say that five times fast. No, I'm kidding.
So, yeah, as you can imagine, we sit around and we talk, what the hell should our next topic be? And we thought, well, what about, bodily fluids and the things that ooze out of us and that kind of thing? And there are a number of references in Shakespeare, who was a dirty minded son of a bitch. And so
that's one of our favorite things about him.
thus this episode was born.
Yeah. And I think we should start by saying, which some of our listeners may know, we've talked a little bit about it before, that, back then they believed in the four humors, right? Blood signified passion and youthfulness. Phlegm was like apathy and cowardice. Yellow bile was anger and irritability. And black bile signified melancholy, right? So like Hamlet is kind of a black bile kind of guy.
Well, that's why they call him the melancholy Dane.
That's right. That's right. So that's where it all comes from. But where do you think we should start with farting? I'm sorry, well, you guys. I am clearly going to be laughing through this whole episode because I'm just a little waka waka.
It's all good. It's all. Although I'm glad you're not. You've calmed down from that anger at the top of the show. I was a little worried.
Right. Yes,
but now we're good. We're good,
we're
right?
Fine.
We're good. Okay, yeah. Good. So I guess not. I don't mean to make this a disclaimer or anything, but obviously we've had other episodes where we have talked about, off color or dirty references in Shakespeare, the smut, if you will. And this episode is not focused on in a general sense on smut. We're specifically talking about emissions.
Right, coming, farting, pissing, shitting, and barfing.
Right, at what Lisa said, exactly. So these are the things, these specific references. So yeah, I mean, by all means, you want to start with farting, by all means. What do you got?
Well, so in my research for this, there are scholars that believe that that little interaction between Hamlet and Polonius is about a fart. When Polonius, in Act 2, Scene 2, lines 388 to 391, Polonius says, "The actors have come hither, my lord." And Hamlet says, "Bzz, bzz." And Polonius says, "Upon mine honor." And Hamlet said, "Then came each actor on his ass." And they think that the "bzz, bzz" is like a raspberry
it's
sound.
A fart noise.
That's a fart joke, yeah.
Well, I'm going to go with that on the
provide, like
Well, listen, as we have often said, if you think it is a dirty joke in Shakespeare, it is.
That's right.
And that's I think, proven pretty much 10 times out of 10. So, why not?
Absolutely. And it makes sense because Hamlet's now, just fucking with Polonius.
Now, I have read some people, if you will forgive the phrase, smell a fart. The famous phrase, blow winds and crack your cheeks. I kind of don't think so.
I don't think so either. I mean, I can see why people would say that, but It doesn't emotionally make sense in that moment to
It
me.
doesn't. It does. It's totally off. I mean, obviously, it's a titanically emotional moment in King Lear, and that's the kind of the one place where I can think of in Shakespeare that you could, just by the words themselves, you can see. Blow winds, and you got a cheeks reference.
Crack, right?
Yeah, there's a crack. But I think, I mean, maybe Shakespeare, being the dirty-minded son of a bitch that he was, might have snickered a little bit when he wrote it, but I don't think that's a fart reference.
Yeah, I don't. I would tend to agree with you, Owen.
On the other hand, much, much more directly and much more early in Shakespeare's career, and one of the most well known is the fart reference in Comedy of Errors, when
Oh my God, yes.
the two Dromio is one Dromio is trying to get into the house where the other Dromio has locked the door, and one Dromio says, "A man may break a word with you, sir, and words are but wind." And the other Dromio replies, "Aye, and break it in your face, so he break it not behind." And I mean, come on. And actually,
Funny.
when I played Dromio of Syracuse years ago, our director, the dear departed Warren Kelly, actually turned that scene into a farting contest.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
Were
it
you
was
guys, was
broad.
that on your special skills? Were you able to actually fart on cue?
Well, it wasn't exactly like we had to. We just, we made the noises and pretended we were farting. It was Jeff Talbot who was Dromio of
Oh,
Ephesus
yes.
in that production. Yeah,
Oh. Oh,
yeah,
wait a minute.
yep,
This is
yep.
at Iverton.
It
I
was
saw
indeed.
that.
Did you? Oh my God,
Yes,
so
I
many years
swear I
ago.
did. I know it was a
Yeah,
million years ago.
but that reference is so direct that you can actually make a farting contest out of that scene.
That would make total sense to me. Something that I really like, a favorite RSCAG of mine is just the fact that in Measure for Measure, he names the pimp Pompey. His last name is Bum, and
Yes,
and he,
Pompey Bum.
yeah, Pompey Bum, and he's kind of an ass, right? And he's also said to be a fellow with a really large rear end. So I just think that's really funny.
Yeah, my fit. There. I think we were talking about this. I've done Measure. I've directed it, and then I saw a production of it in which, they turned Pompey into a really kind of scary character. Because he's, I mean, he certainly could be portrayed as a pimp, and he was in this production. But he was funny, but the guy was like deadly serious
Like
sometimes, and it
threatening,
was,
like
yeah,
threatening.
like threatening, and it really worked. It really worked.
I can totally see how it would. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give a little farting love to a character who has actually received quite a bit of nasty words from you and I. The clown in Othello, which is one of the most unfunny clowns ever written and is almost always cut. But I will say this: in Othello, there's some in the scene that is almost always cut. The musicians are performing, and the clown says, "Are these, I pray you, wind instruments?" And the first musician says, "Aye, marry, are they, sir?" And the clown says, "Oh, thereby hangs a tale." "Whereby hangs a tale, sir?" "Marry, sir, meant by many a wind instrument that I know." So the tale the clown is speaking of is the ass,
That's
right?
right.
And the clown means that the ass is a
Just
wind
farting,
instrument and
right?
the fart is the music. So even though that's not particularly funny, at least it's a fart, like a direct fart reference.
Oh yeah.
So I'm going to give it up for the clown in Othello to that extent.
Yes, I will give that up as well. I do have a funny little story that I found in my research, though, that in Shakespeare's lifetime, like the most famous, like real fart situation. Was in 1607, Sir Henry Ludlow came into the House of Commons and just let one rip. And so somebody started writing a poem called, quote, "The Fart Censured in the Parliament House," which is about Ludlow cracking one off. And it's been a poem that circulates in manuscript, and then people were adding more and more fart gags to it over and over, which I just love.
You
So
made the
funny.
now unfortunately you have made me wonder what like Mitch McConnell farts smell like.
Oh no, that's like carrion. That's like something died.
Yikes. Yikes.
And did you know in Merry Wives, right? Falstaff has to
Start again.
I've talked so much this week. In
Start
Merry,
again.
right? In Merry Wives of Windsor, Falstaff has to disguise himself as the Fat Lady of Brentford, the Witch of Brentford. That is a reference to a fictional woman named named Gillian of Brentford that first appeared in a poem by Robert Copeland that was printed in 1563. It story became fairly ubiquitous in low literature, even on stage. But the essential plot is that this widow, Gillian of Brentford, calls a curate to her home in order to make a will in which she bequeaths 26 and a half farts to people who annoyed her. The half a fart was reserved for the curate against whom she'd like clearly taken a dislike. And so this cantankerous farting old lady is the one that's referenced in Merry Wives of Windsor. I think it's
Now,
really
what
funny.
did she store these farts in like mason jars? I
Maybe,
mean,
yes, maybe, yes.
and
I
how
don't
do you
know.
like, I mean, how, I mean, I can I guess I can understand you open a mason jar and you fart in it and then
And
you
then you
close it
close it
up
really
really
fast.
fast. But how, so I mean, I guess, but how do you do a half a fart? How do you measure that?
Well, maybe it's the timing. If a full fart is like, right, like at least three, and then a half a fart is.
Okay, I guess. I'm not
Well,
really.
listeners, if you have any ideas about how you can catch a fart in a jar, please write to us at thebardcastyoudick@gmail.com.
Yes, please do, because that is something that we definitely need to know. So, okay, I'm imagining that like these farts in the mason jar, like the lo like there's longer and shorter ones, right?
Well, one
So
would
for
think, right? That's why
right.
I thought that short one might be a half a fart.
So also, I think, I have a suspicion we may have talked about this one before, but it's a really good one in terms of farting. So I and stay with me here. This is an exchange between Owen Glendower and Hotspur in Henry IV, Part One. And Glendower's bragging and bragging and bragging. And he says at one point, "I say the earth did shake when I was born. The heavens were all on fire. The earth did tremble." And Hotspur says, and stay with me because it's a little long. He says, "Oh, then the earth shook to see the heavens on fire and not in fear of your nativity. Diseased nature oftentimes breaks forth in strange eruptions. Oft the teeming earth is with a kind of colic pinched and vexed by the imprisoning of of unruly wind within her womb, which for enlargement striving shakes the old beldam earth and topples down steeples and moss-grown towers. At your birth, our grandma earth, having this distemperature, in passion shook." Which
He's
basically is a
totally
long.
talking about
He's
farting.
saying the earth farted when you were born.
That's right.
In fact, the earth farted so hard that it knocked churches down. So.
And it makes sense considering their relationship, so.
Yes, indeed. So that's mostly what I have on farts.
Let's move forward to pissing, shall we?
Why? I thought you'd never ask.
Well, I will say that it seems like Elizabethan and early Jacobean English folks of all kinds, anyway, really weren't ashamed of any kind of their bodily functions. I mean, everybody pooed and peed with or without witnesses, right? But I wanted to talk about Launce's speech.
Yes. Well, this is a perfect, actually, this is a perfect transition from farting to pissing.
That's right. Because he talks about his dog Crab stealing the hostess's dinner right off her plate, farting, and then pissing on a lady's dress. So
Right.
I just think that's
And
pretty great.
he uses the word piss, like when he
Yes.
describes the dog being under the table a pissing while.
That's right. That's
And
right.
then the and then in the same speech the dog farts and he pretends that it was him,
That's
and
right.
yeah, so yeah, that's a good transition. Now there are a couple of actual references, direct references to piss. For instance, wait, you have go ahead.
The Tempest. I
Yeah. Oh,
have,
yes.
Trinculo and Stefano, and they say, "Monster, I do smell all horse piss, at which my nose is in great indignation."
Yeah, that's when Ariel has led Stefano and Trinculo into the swamp,
That's right.
into the mire, and like they've walked through piss.
That's right.
And also in Henry VI Part Two, Jack Cade says, "I charge and command that at the city's cost, the pissing conduit run nothing but claret wine this first year of our reign."
Yeah.
And the pissing conduit was an actual thing in London where people would go to relieve themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Shakespeare would show, so I think this is kind of fun. Like when we take it, what would be a modern day euphemism for taking a piss, Owen?
Taking a leak,
Yes,
draining the
exactly.
goose.
Taking a leak comes from that time. It's been used as a verb meaning to piss since the 1590s, right? In Act Two of Henry IV, Part One, a carrier exclaims, "Why, you will allow ne'er a lorden," which is a chamber pot, "and then we leak in your chimney."
Nice.
See, so when people are saying, "I'm taking a leak these days," it's Shakespeare.
It's Shakespeare talk. You don't even know.
That's right. And he also had other phrases for men taking a leak, looking on the hedge or plucking a rose. That's also a
Oh
euphemism
yes,
for taking
plucking
a
a
leak.
rose. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another direct reference in Merry Wives of Windsor when Falstaff says, "Send me a cool rut time, Jove, or who can blame me
That's
to
right.
piss my tallow?"
That's right.
And also, well, yeah, pissing while is that's the two gents, right? But
Yeah.
there are some direct references to urine in Shakespeare as well.
That's true.
For instance, the porter in the Scottish play
Yep.
describing how drink can affect people, he says, "Marry, sir, nose painting, sleep, and urine are the
Yeah.
three major effects of drinking." And
Yeah.
that, but there's a direct reference to urine.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Shall we move?
Oh wait.
Do you
No, I'm
have
not done
more?
with you.
Go.
I'm not done with urine. There are, and who
Please,
is really?
really.
There are two more direct references to urine. One is from Merchant of Venice when Shylock is
Oh, that's
berating,
right.
and he says he's describing he's answering why he doesn't want to take the 3,000 ducats and why he's
That's right.
insisting on his pound of flesh, and he's describing people who have various foibles. They don't like this, they don't like that, and at one point he says, "And others, when the bagpipe sings in the nose, cannot contain their urine." So, people hate bagpipes so much that it makes them piss for some reason. I don't really understand why that would happen. I'm actually going to Edinburgh very soon, so I hope this doesn't happen to me, but you never know.
Hey, and if
And
it does, I'll make sure that you hear about it, listeners.
exactly. The only other direct reference to urine I can find is in Measure for Measure when Lucio is describing Angelo as being so like frigid, basically.
Right,
And
right.
he says, "But it is certain that when he makes water, his urine is congealed ice. That I know to be true." So, yeah.
Shall we move
That
on to coming?
yeah, I'm done with pissing, so sure.
Oh, good. It is the first on our title, but we thought we'd save it. So, we've talked a lot about orgasms on this podcast before. How,
And why not?
that's right. How to die is a euphemism for having an orgasm. And there's references to it all through Shakespeare. The first I thought of was the little exchange between Ophelia and Hamlet, and Ophelia says, "You are keen, my lord, you are keen." And he takes it, he's taking it, not that he thinks she actually means that, but that he's horny, and he says, "It would cost you a groaning to take off my edge," right? So, yeah.
Clearly, there's that.
Yeah.
Now, I will leave this to you. I'm going to suggest that this has to do with cum.
Okay.
In Henry V, when Pistol famously says, "Pistol's cock is up and flashing fire will follow." What do you think?
It sounds like jizz to me.
Thank you. Thank you. This is why we're friends.
It does. I mean,
Yes.
now here's one, right? That you'd never think that Shakespeare was making a Latin sex pun here, but Juliet's last words before she dies, she says, "Oh, happy dagger," and she takes Romeo's dagger. "This is thy sheath," and she stabs herself. "There rust and let me die." Now, the Latin word for sheath is vagina. So we think that she does, she is actually,
Well, and
they
the
did
and
have her
the
making a cum pun.
well, I think that, I mean, whether or not it's meant to, I don't think it's meant to be particularly funny,
It's
but
no.
I think it's definitely play on words when you consider A, what you've just said, B, the action of killing, of stabbing yourself to death is penetration, right? And also she says, "There
Let me
rust and
die.
let me die," which we know is a euphemism for, right? So now let me point, it's very interesting that you bring that up, because I have another Juliet one. And again, this is not about, necessarily bodily effluvia, but so this is the way the line is usually presented in the famous speech, Gallop Apace, right? Come, gentle knight, come, loving black-browed knight, give me my Romeo, and when he shall die, take him and cut him out in little stars, and he will make the face of heaven so fine that all the world will be in love with night and pay no worship to the garish sun. Aha! But if you look in the folio, and I know how keen you are on the folio, speaking of
Yes,
keen,
I was. Yes, I'm grinning from ear to ear.
Juliet does not say, "Give me my Romeo, and when he shall die," she says, "When
When
I
I
shall
shall
die."
die. Yes.
So most people, to most editors, change that to "he shall die," because if you take it literally, it doesn't really make any sense if it's "when I shall die." But if she's referring to an orgasm, then it totally makes sense.
Which I think she is.
Well, and that's in the fucking folio.
It's in the
So I think that is another clear, and now, you can debate about "come, gentle knight, come, loving black-browed knight," but I think that the "I shall die" is the proper reading, and that it refers to exactly what we think it refers to.
Yes, I completely agree with you. I have another, Claudius says to Gertrude at one point when he's leaving, "Come, .. come away." And you know they're going off stage to fuck. I mean,
Right.
why would she have
Well,
married him anyway?
I mean,
Otherwise.
those two, get a room, is all I can say. Get a throne room.
Now,
Now, one more.
go ahead.
Definitely in Much Ado, when Benedict says to Beatrice, "I will live in thy heart, die in thy lap, and be buried in thy eyes."
Yes. Oh my
Yeah,
God.
I will die in thy lap. I mean, hello.
Hello. Well, I mean, let's talk about Sonnet 129, Owen.
Oh, yes.
The expense of spirit. It starts off talking about jizz.
Yes, the expense of spirit and a
What a
waste of
waste of
shame
shame is
is
lust
lust in
in
action.
action.
Yeah. So, yeah, and spirit, that's another word for exactly that, right? So, 100%. I mean, we were talking on one of the pods recently about the Dick sonnet. I mean, that's the jizz sonnet.
That we did. It is the
Yeah.
jizz
And
sonnet.
Shakespeare's none too happy about it in that sonnet either.
No. Here's a little interesting tidbit that I found out that there's this guy, Richard Burt, who is a professor of English at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst. He's the author of a book called Unspeakable Shakespeares, which is about like gender and Shakespeare. But he did a study of not, I could not believe this, Owen. He did a study of 1990s pornographic film adaptations of Shakespeare's plays, indeed, like the genre of pornography itself. He was really into it, right?
The best one is "Ass, You Lick It."
Well, there are he in the late 90s, there were films such as A Midsummer Night's Cream, The Taming of the Screw, and Tromeo and Juliet, and that they expressed American ambivalence toward the elite Shakespeare of like European literary tradition. He contends that Shakespeare-themed porn films, like other engagements, with Shakespeare in late 20th century American mass media, indulge in both the high culture cachet of Shakespearean literature and the desecration of this literature's integrity.
Some people have a lot of time on their hands, is all I can say to
A
that.
Midsummer Night's Cream.
I'm telling you, Ass You Lick It is the best one. But you know what? We forgot a major piss reference. We forgot a major one, something that we've mentioned before. In Twelfth Night,
God, of course. Oh my God, how dumb are we?
Malvolio's reading the letter, right? By my life, this is my lady's hands. These be
Yes.
her very C's, her U's, and her T's, and thus she makes her great P's. You have the cunt reference and the piss reference in one line.
Oh, two for one.
Yeah, we've talked about that one before, which is probably why we forgot it. But I didn't want to let it go. Are
You're
we up to
right.
vomit yet?
We can be up to vomit.
I mean, we're running the gamut here a little bit. There's not as much vomiting as you might think there would be. I mean, probably the most famous is in Jacques' Seven Ages of Man.
As you lick
Yeah, in Ass You Lick It. At first, when he's describing the different stages of a man's life, at first the infant mewling and puking in the nurse's arms, which has in fact led to some people thinking that Shakespeare coined the phrase puke, but it isn't true.
Yeah, no, he did not. He did not invent the term to puke.
No, which is a shame because, you know, hey, puke.
Yeah.
But he did use it.
He did, but he probably got it from the Germans have a word for spitting. Latin, and it's spuken. So, yeah.
So in Henry IV, part two, Archbishop Scroop says, "So now, so, thou common dog, didst thou disgorge thy glutton bosom of the royal Richard, and now wouldst eat the dead vomit up and house to find it."
Yeah.
It's a nice image, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Now there's a lot of refer the word vomit appears in Shakespeare a lot, but it doesn't always refer to like actual barf.
That's
Sometimes
right.
it's a lot of
Vomiting up the maw of whatever. Yeah.
It can be it's a lot of times it's figurative, but there's only a few times that it's literal. Iago, for instance, in Othello, when he's getting what's his ass drunk, Cassio. He says, "Why, he drinks you with facility, your Dane dead drunk. He sweats not to overthrow your Almain. He gives your Hollander a vomit ere the next bottle."
Nice.
So there's another reference. And then finally, in Titus Andronicus, Marcus is going on and on and on. He's, you know, every about all the terrible things that are happened. And eventually he says, "But like a drunkard must I vomit them, then give me leave, for losers will have leave to ease their stomachs with their bitter tongues." So
Nice.
that's another literal reference to actual barf. But I think that's it.
Yeah, that's all I had. I did find some fun going back to the orgasm section. I did find some fun euphemisms that he used for vaginas and penises. Would you like to hear those often? Or shall I speak them for our listeners?
Over and above what we've already talked about, I'm all ears.
So some euphemisms that he used for vagina were bird's nest, box unseen, which makes me laugh, crack, flower, forfended place, hole, nest of spicery, the Netherlands, O, just by itself, Pillicock Hill, Salmon's Tail, Secret Parts, Venus's Glove, Withered Pear, and Wound. And then some.
And also the domains that they're adjacent lie
That's right. That's right.
to the quivering thigh.
That's right.
Yeah.
Some.
I thought Pillicock sat on Pillicock Hill was about a dick, though. That's from King Lear,
Yeah.
right? That's
No, I
Edgar.
thought it was. Oh. Well,
Pillicock stood on
Pillicock
Pillicock
is the
Hill, I think.
penis. Hill, the mound, the
Right.
vaginal mound, that's the vagina. So Pillicock is the penis.
Oh, okay.
Pillicock Hill
Oh,
is
I
the
see.
vagina.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, because I always thought, well, that's interesting because now I reading that in a different way, it means copulation, but I
Right.
always thought it just meant an erection. But you know, see, you can learn something new every day, kids.
Every fucking day. And some of the
So
euphemisms about penises. Wait, I have my pe let's give equal time to the
Oh, right.
dictionary.
Oh, the penis list. Oh my God. What am I thinking?
Bugle, dart of love, which I like, instrument, little finger. I wonder how that refers to Game of Thrones, right?
Oh, sure.
Loins, pizzle, prick, potato finger, thorn, and ye old tool.
Oh, Willy shakes.
All right, so I guess all we have left, right, is like the oozing things, like, you know.
Oh, well, no. Well, I'll let you have some oozing things, right?
I
Like,
do, 'cause
go
I
ahead.
couldn't I don't have any. You have shitting things.
A little bit, not
Yeah,
much.
I have some oozing things. So, you know, there's that famous paragraph King Lear is talking to his daughter Goneril, you know, and says to her, "Thou art a boil, a plague sore, an embossed carbuncle." So that's one. In King John, Constance says she cannot love a man full of unpleasing blots and sightless stains, patched with foul moles and eye-offending marks. And then there's a curse in Coriolanus, promising blemishes and hate. It goes, "Boils and plagues plaster you o'er, that you may be abhorred." There are
Well, and I think you were going to say the fistula, the famous fistula
I
in
was,
All's Well
yes.
That Ends Well. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Do you want to
Has
describe that for our friends?
sure. So there the king in All's Well That Ends Well has a fistula on his butt, which kind of explains Lavache's weird buttock jokes, right, in Act Two, Scene Two. But the king's disease is really disgusting. The fistula is so painful that the king can't even walk, and he has to be carried around on a padded chair. So, an anal fistula was very
Yeah.
well known to the lay public in Shakespeare's time. And also, here was something interesting. Shakespeare might have known of this like famous anal fistula treatise of John Ardern, who was an ancestor on his mother's
I'm
side.
sorry, can you say that one more time? The famous what?
Famous anal fistula treatises, you know, treating of John Ardern, who was an ancestor on Shakespeare's mother's side.
See, the famous anal fistula treatise of John, whatever his name is, sounds like a
Ardern.
70s folk band to me.
What is it, my good lord, the king languishes of? A fistula, my lord.
Oh yes. Oh
Yeah.
yes. And of course it conjures up images of fisting for me.
Of course, of course. And I mean, like, you know, there's like venereal diseases all over Shakespeare. 55 lines in Measure for Measure, 61 in Troilus and Cressida, 67 in Timon of Athens, all allude to venereal disease. So.
By the way, speaking of those porno films, it isn't Shakespeare related, but did you ever see Schindler's Fist?
No, but you've told me about it.
And the best tagline of all time, the fist is life. Okay, it's a little departure there.
Oh my God. So what do you have? And then I
So
have that really interesting little thing about monkeys.
Well,
And
I'll let you end with that because I really don't have all that much. There's surprisingly little about actual shit in Shakespeare. There's
yeah.
a ver there's very, very little minimal references to shit. And there's one pun in The Merry Wives of Windsor when Dr. Caius, the French doctor, is like there's going to be a hunting party. Then two of the guys are leaving, and the tagline as he leaves is, "If there'll be one or two in the party, I shall make a deterred." And it is written TURD. So
Literally,
yeah. Now
literally.
this is not quite as much as like Ben Jonson in Bartholomew Fair having a character whose catchphrase is "Turd in your teeth."
Yeah.
But it's a turd reference. The only other thing that I could find, and it is only, by the way, it isn't a direct reference to shit, But in King Lear, when Kent is berating Oswald, he says, "My lord, if you'll give me leave, I will tread this unbolted villain into mortar and daub the wall of a Jakes with him." And a Jakes is a shit house.
That's right. That's right.
So even though it's not a direct reference to actual excrement, although you know what? We forget that there is that line in Love's Labour's Lost, when Don Armado describes him as playing with the he allows the king to play with his excrement. Now, he means his beard, he
I
means
know, but
hair,
it's pretty funny.
but it's pretty funny. He played with my excrement always amuses me.
And by the way, people in Elizabethan England, people did not just throw their shit out the window, because if it stayed below them, they would have to smell it. And in fact, there were fines that could be levied against citizens who metaphorically or literally created a stink that inconvenienced their neighbors.
Oh, well, I think we've talked about this on another pod, but if we haven't, it's a worth the discussion. There was a whole industry that carted away what was known as night soil, which was, you can imagine how much of it there must have been. And there was like whole little like town-sized lots where the shit from people's houses was taken. And the people that worked, the night soil workers, were like looked down on, like they were almost subhuman for doing that job.
Well, I
I
mean,
mean,
come
I
on,
don't,
you
I'm so, I
know.
don't want that job. I don't want that job. I'm sorry.
So there was this there was this study done. This is so fucking weird. British dermatologists did a study that they said Shakespeare is to blame for our modern day obsession with clear skin, because his plays are so full of insults related to skin disease, right? Like the Lear thing I said about thou art a boil of plaques or an embossed carbuncle. A pox upon him, like, was a phrase that was used throughout the centuries, right? The thing I said about Constance, the curse in Coriolanus, you know? And also, in Shakespeare's time, London was rat infested, it had open sewers, disease was rife, everybody had carbuncles and chancres and all of that kind of stuff. Not everybody agrees with it, but I thought it was amusing.
I can't even imagine what London smelled like then.
Oh no, oh my God. And then the only other thing I wanted to point out was, I was thinking about poop and Shakespeare, and I put in poop and Shakespeare, and this really has nothing to do with the topic, but it was so amusing that I thought I had to bring it up. Apparently, so I put in poop and Shakespeare. So this article came up from the Washington Post in 2016 called What Twitter, Shakespeare, and Monkeys Have in Common. Right? Monkeys throw in their poop, right? Well, apparently, Twitter and Shakespeare's Globe Theater in 2016 partnered to prove the infinite monkey theorem, which is a theorem that states that monkeys infinitely typing at random could eventually recreate the complete works of William Shakespeare. The project uses a machine to capture the random keystrokes of one group of monkeys, right? So in the Globes Theatre in London, in the lobby, a typewriter was hooked up to a mass of wires to a computer that combs Twitter looking for tweets that contain certain words. The concept behind the theorem is that given infinite time and random sequencing, the emergence of something coherent is statistically highly probable. But when they put the thing in with the monkeys, there was a lot of shit throwing, a lot of pissing, and a lot of A's for some reason.
Okay, well, you go, Twitter and Globe Theater.
That is all I have.
I can't top that. I think we have come to an end.
Bum
Oh,
joke.
end. Ha
Oh
ha ha ha.
my goodness. Well, you guys, we actually have something very exciting to tell you. We hit 10,000 downloads this
We
week,
did
which is
indeed.
really exciting, and had not only our best download month, but our best single download day. And it is because of you guys, and
Yes,
we are
thank you, thank you,
incredibly
thank you.
grateful.
So keep listening.
Yes, and please tell all your friends about it. Anybody who wants to talk about shit and piss and poop and also other serious things
And if
to
we
listen to
missed
our
any of these
podcast.
references, of course, write to us at thebardcastudick@gmail.com or visit our website at www.thebardcastudick.com, and where you can subscribe and get swag from our vaults. You
That's
can
right, on
also
PayPal or Patreon.com.
That is correct. You can also patronize our charities, the Actors Fund and Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, to very, very worthy causes.
Yeah, and I guess we'll see you then. I got nothing else. And remember,
It's
it's Shakespeare,
Shakespeare, you
you
dick.
dick. The preceding podcast was a production of Country Matters LLC, copyright 2022, all rights reserved.